So, good morning. I want to give you a little bit of an update on a change in furniture that's going to be happening next week. We're going to be having a microphone up front here, and I'll be sitting down there. It's going to be an opportunity for you to come together and to be able to share a testimony or a scripture of Thanksgiving, maybe even a song, but you might need to coordinate that with some of the worship folks, because just standing up and singing on your own may not be exactly what we're looking at. But it's an opportunity for you to share in Thanksgiving. It's an opportunity for you to testify of your thankfulness. And hopefully today you're going to have some promptings towards that to help you focus or think towards that, and how you can encourage the body as you come to share. We're not going to have Sunday school next week, so when the service ends, young ones, please don't go running downstairs for a snack, because the older ones are going to be down there setting up for a meal. So there'll be some activities going on up here, but just want to make sure that you're aware of that. And if you are going to be coming and being involved next week, please make sure you sign up so we can take care of the details of getting the setup figured out, who's going to be doing cleanup, and to make sure we know what's going on with the food. Diane's wonderfully coordinating the food for us, but we need to make sure we communicate that kind of stuff. All right, so that's next week. And then the week after that, we're going to change the furniture again, because it's going to be Advent. Christmas is coming, right? So we're going to start having things set up for our Christmas season. You're going to see the Advent candles, if we can find them, back up here again. And we're going to have families will have the opportunity to come up and share scriptures as a way of encouraging the body, and as a way of your family being involved together and testifying to your faith. So by next Sunday, I want to be able to share who's going to be doing the Advent candles. If you would like to go ahead and volunteer before you're voluntold, please let me know today so we can get that all squared away. And then for the first 3 weeks of December, the fourth week has already been claimed, but the first 3 weeks of December, if men are being led to preach, it's an opportunity to do that. Again, we don't want to be lingering throughout Advent for that. So if you'd be interested in that, again, let me know by next Sunday so we can get that in the bulletin. So for this week, the theme for this week is thankfulness for the harvest. Thankfulness for the harvest. So when we look at Thanksgiving, it's interesting because as a church, we look at Thanksgiving and we talk about being thankful to God, but Thanksgiving is not a religious holiday. It's actually a secular holiday. It's actually a governmental holiday that we have that's grown out of tradition in this country. So it's not a religious holiday, but it's certainly founded in the religious history of this country. Most of you know the pilgrim story, that they came over in 1620, over 400 years ago, and in that first winter, half of the pilgrims died because of sickness and starvation. They came in the middle of a very harsh winter, and their trip was delayed. So they actually had much sickness, much starvation, and those that died were actually buried in secret so the Indians wouldn't know that they were being weakened. They were actually afraid of being attacked because they were being weakened. So that first year for the pilgrims was a very difficult year. But the second year is when they had their first Thanksgiving, at the end of the fall of the first year. And one of the reasons I want to bring this up as a point is that we think about that pilgrim Thanksgiving. We think about that which was going on back in this area, in the Plymouth area, 400 years ago. But, you know, the Plymouth Plantation wasn't the first settlement, right? The first settlement was actually a couple years beforehand in Jamestown, Virginia. I don't know how many of you have been thinking about Jamestown, Virginia every Thanksgiving year. But we don't. We don't think about Jamestown. We don't think about that first settlement. We think about the pilgrims and their first Thanksgiving. History recalls that first Thanksgiving more prominently than anything that was going on with the first settlement in Jamestown. And I think that's important for us to know that in the midst of their adversity, and that's a theme you're going to see going through this morning's message, in the midst of their adversity, they were thankful to God. And I think that's one of the biggest reasons why we remember this. Jamestown had just as many issues where they were dealing with sickness and with death and all sorts of trials, but we don't have a record of them being thankful to God in the midst of their adversity. The example we have from the Pilgrims, we follow, and that's what's turned into our history and our culture of what we remember. So this question's been going through my mind as we in preparation for Thanksgiving. It's easy for us to be thankful when things are going our way. We can be very thankful, just like a non-Christian, when things are going our way, just because things are going our way. But can we be thankful in times of adversity? Can we be thankful no matter what? Sure, we can be thankful. I got what I want. Things are going my way. Things are going the way the world should around me. Even the godless politicians, right? They can thank a God they don't believe in, just that their godless agenda is moving forward. So it's easy for people to be thankful when things are going the way they want to. But in the midst of any adversity or challenge or struggle that you're experiencing, in the midst of the troubles that are going on around the world today, and every generation has troubles, I want to bring you back to that heart and the mindset of thankfulness from the first pilgrims. So after that first Thanksgiving feast, and we remember, you know, they had turkeys and they had the local Indian tribe was there, great festival, you know, lots of food spread out and deer and everything else. And we think of that table of plenty. But do you know that even after that feast, almost immediately after that feast, they still face starvation in this new land. They even had extra mouths to feed, right? Some of us have extra people show up for Thanksgiving dinner, and we're like, oh, is there enough food to go around? Well, after that first Thanksgiving feast, they had 36 new settlers show up in the area. So the food they had stored now had to be stretched even further. And then they had the drought going on where their crops weren't coming in. And yet, after even 2 more years into it, they were still thankful. I'm going to read to you the first written account of Thanksgiving. This was 2 years after that first Thanksgiving celebration. It was after 2 years of struggling and starvation and doubts that were going on. But I want to read this to you just so you can understand their mindset as we think of our own thankfulness coming into our recognition of Thanksgiving. The governor wrote this in 1623, yes, 400 years ago. Inasmuch as the Great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, beans, squashes, and garden vegetables. Yes, kids, they were thankful for the vegetables. And he's made the forest to abound with game and the seas with fish and clams. And inasmuch as he has protected us from the ravages of the savages and has spared us from pestilence and disease, and he's granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience. Now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all ye pilgrims, with your wives and your little ones, do gather at the meeting house on the hill between the hours of 9 and 12 in the daytime. So we should start church at 12, at 9, right, and go to 12. On Thursday, November 29th, in the year of our Lord, 1623, in the third year since the pilgrims landed on Pilgrim Rock, there to listen to your pastor and to render thanksgiving to God Almighty for his blessings. Now, in that, there's a thankfulness, a proclamation of thankfulness for provisions, right? Provisions. We definitely had provisions going on with the food that was coming into them as God made the harvest. There was those the thanksgiving for the protection that they had against the tribes in the area. There was thanksgiving for saving from pestilence. I think a little parallel to that, 400 years later, we had the same memory of the pestilence that came upon us. But in the midst of this, at that same level, or even greater than that level, there is a thankfulness to God for the freedom to worship God according to their conscience. So when we think about our Thanksgiving, I can be thankful for my life, I can be thankful for my wife, I can be thankful for all things. But in that, do I consider my thankfulness to God for my freedom to worship him, my ability to have a relationship with him? Turn up to Psalm 28. And yeah, I'm still setting the stage for this, right? Can we be thankful in times of adversity? Can we be thankful no matter what? Turn over to Psalm 28, please. Psalm 28. Now, how many of you got the email I sent about with Lincoln's proclamation that was 200 years ago? All right, so I read you the one from 400 years ago. There was one from 200 years ago from Lincoln. And the reason I sent that, and again, I see a parallel towards us with this, it was in the midst of the Civil War, right? It was right in the middle of the Civil War that was going on. And let me just read a few things from there just to remind you of this. In the midst of a civil war of unequaled magnitude and severity, no human counsel has devised, nor has any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, has nevertheless remembered mercy. We can be thankful that God remembers mercy in the midst of the troubles of this wayward nation. We can be thankful that God remembers his own mercy in the midst of the troubles of those that have gone away from him, though even in a country that's abandoned the faith of its founding fathers. We can be thankful that God still remembers mercy and that God still hears our prayers. Lincoln goes on to ask the country to pray, and he asked the country to pray not because of all the things going on of expanding the nation and all the wealth that's coming in, even in the midst of this thing, but he asked them to pray with humble penitence, with repentance, for our national perverseness and disobedience, and to fervently implore the imposition of the Almighty Hand to heal the wounds of the nation and to restore it as soon as may be consistent with the divine purposes to the full enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and union. This time of Thanksgiving, as he's mentioning it, is not just a don't worry, be happy, pass the cranberry sauce. This is a remembrance that there are things that are going on that we need to be beseeching God to be praying for. In the midst of trouble, in the midst of difficulties, in the midst of the things we see that are going away from God, we need to be coming to him with thankfulness that he's remembered his mercy, that he has not just doled out upon us that which we deserve, either as individuals or as a country. But sometimes it's easy for us to forget that God, right, he's the one who holds the heart of the king in his hand. He's the one who directs the kings themselves. And we can be thankful that he's the one who does move the nations, even as we see all the rumblings going on around us with all the nations. Let's just read, I want to read Psalm 28 with you as an example of how David was thankful also in the midst of troubles. Verse 6 is a key change in this, where he starts off saying, "Blessed be the Lord." But look at what's going on in his mind before then, right? "To you, O Lord, I call, my rock, be not deaf to me." He was even doubting that God was hearing him. "Lest if you be silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my pleas for mercy when I cry to you for help, when I lift up my hands towards your most holy sanctuary. Do not drag me off with the wicked, with the workers of evil, who speak peace with their neighbors while evil's in their heart. Give to them according to their work and according to the evil of their deeds. Give to them according to the work of their hands. Render them their due reward. Because they do not regard the works of the Lord or the works of his hand, he will tear them down and build them up no more." And then in verse 6, you can see just the whole change in assurance with David here, where he says, "Blessed be the Lord. Thank God, for he has heard the voice of my pleas for mercy. Therefore, I can be thankful that God remembers mercy." God remembers mercy. And he goes on to verse 7, "The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my shield, in him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exults, and with my song I give thanks to him. The Lord is the strength of the people. He is the saving refuge of the anointed. Oh, save your people and bless your heritage. Be their shepherd and carry them forever." You know, I think as we go through Thanksgiving, it's easy for us to either not be thankful for that which is what's going on, or for us to be thankful for the simple things of those who don't even know Christ that are going on in this world. But David shows us that in the midst of his adversity, in the midst of things not going his way, he's able to give thanks to God because God remembers his mercy. And he remembers that God himself is going to be their shepherd and carry them forever. I'm just saying this so you can understand that in the midst of adversity, in the midst of times of adversity, we can be thankful no matter what. No matter what's going on, no matter how bad the day at work is, no matter how bad the month is, no matter how your finances are, no matter how the country is running around us, we can be thankful no matter what because God is the one who remembers mercy. He's our strength, he's our saving refuge, and he's our shepherd. And because of him, we can be thankful in times of adversity, and we can be thankful for no matter what. So I say that our thankfulness, it needs to begin with being thankful for him. Our thankfulness needs to begin with being thankful for him. You know, we see the feasts of Thanksgiving that are around us, going on around us this week. You know, we can thank God for his bounty. We can thank God for the physical bounty we can see. And we can be thankful for the harvest, that we do have food and we do have plenty. But don't forget to be thankful for the spiritual harvest. No matter how much food's on the table, we can always be thankful for the spiritual harvest. So when you think about this, the harvest that God's giving to us, the provision he's actually giving to us, what's the first and foremost thing we need to be thankful for? The first thing we need to be thankful for? Anybody in Sunday school? Starts with a J, ends with an S. Jesus, thank you. Let's go back to the beginning of this one. The first thing we can be thankful for is Jesus. Now, when I went through and did this, trying to think of the Feast of Thanksgiving and this whole concept of feasts that we have together that are times set apart from other times, I was thinking about that Feast of Passover, right? And in that feast, that was the earliest feast that they had of the harvest. There were three harvest feasts they had. Passover was the first feast they had when the first crop, the barley crop, came in. And they all gathered together for the Feast of Passover. And we know that in the midst of all of that, that Jesus was part of the Passover. And we know that Jesus is the Passover lamb, that Jesus was sacrificed. That same time frame of Passover and the barley feast of what was going on, Jesus was the Passover lamb. 1 Peter 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." That's the first and foremost thing we should be thankful for, the first fruits of the harvest. I talked about this a few weeks ago, right? The first fruits of the harvest was that trust, that promise that we know that the rest of the harvest will be coming. We thank God with the first fruits because we know the rest of the harvest will be coming. Remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15? He said, "In fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who've fallen asleep." We need to be thankful first and foremost for Jesus. Out of all the Thanksgiving meals that are going to be going on in this country, out of all the Thanksgiving that's being offered up this next week, first and foremost, we need to be thankful for the first fruits of the harvest, which is Jesus Christ. If we're not thankful for Christ, then everything we're thankful for is just like the pagans. It's just like those who don't know him. It all flows through him and through his provision. And 1 Corinthians 15 also says, "But in each in his own order, Christ is the first fruits, and then his coming, those who belong with his first fruits." Now, again, not to put too much into the old feast of the old law, but one of the things with the offering of the first fruits that happened at Passover is that no other grain was to be harvested until the first fruits offering was brought to the Lord. Think about that. We go through and we have our food on the table and we say grace and then we eat our food. And what happened at the Feast of First Fruits is they brought the first fruits in, they gave the offering, and then they could harvest everything else. So So after the first fruits of the harvest, after Christ, then comes the rest of the harvest. What's the rest of the harvest? That's those who follow Jesus. We can be thankful for the harvest, those who follow Jesus. And again, I went into another feast, the Feast of Pentecost, right? The Feast of Weeks. You know, you had the barley feast, and then you had the wheat. And the Feast of Pentecost is when the church was actually born. Now, the church wasn't just born because they met together and said, let's sign a piece of paper. The church was born because at that time, God sent his Holy Spirit amongst the church so that they would come together as the people of God. It was the incoming of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2 tells us that when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So when we think about being thankful for the harvest, we think about being thankful for the first fruits of Jesus, but then being thankful for our own salvation, being thankful for our brothers and sisters in Christ, being thankful that God would build the church and that he would use his church in this world. We need to be thankful for that. It's not the small thing, our own salvation. You know, James 1:8 says, of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits, again, following after Christ, a kind of first fruits of his creation. And because of that, we're thankful. We are thankful that he's brought us into his kingdom. And Hebrews 12:28 says, therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. We do that every time we gather, especially next week. You'll have an opportunity to come forward and to be able to testify to God, not just that things are going well in this world, but that you have the opportunity to be thankful for his son and thankful for how he's called you into his kingdom. Let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. You know, Psalm 19:14 tells us, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and redeemer. Because of our thankfulness of what he's done for us, because of our thankfulness of how he's called us into his kingdom, we want to live lives that are obedient, not just to our own devices, but we want to live lives that are obedient to him. Romans 12, another familiar verse, talks about that we are to see ourselves not just as the first fruits, but as a living sacrifice. I appeal to you, therefore, my brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. When we're coming together in thanksgiving, we're coming together in worship, you're presenting your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. This is our thankfulness. But he didn't just leave us here, right? God didn't just leave us here and say, enjoy your time together, right? He left us here with a purpose. He left us here with a purpose to go out and to have more of a harvest. We can be thankful that God's work isn't done yet because the harvest has not yet come in. We know that eventually every tribe, every tongue, every people, every language will be gathered together in heaven, giving praise and glory to God. We can be thankful that he's still at work because that time is not done yet. He's not just going to poof the church and take it up until his work is done. But when it is done, then he will come back to claim his bride. Now, I had a picture of that. So here's the church existing within the world, right? And how are we supposed to be impacting the rest of the world as we're being thankful to God? Has anyone ever told you that the church stinks? It's in the Bible. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, but thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphant possession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Christ everywhere. Everywhere you go in the church, you are taking the fragrance of the knowledge of Christ along with you. We can be thankful that the next generation of tomorrow's harvest, the harvest that is yet to be claimed in, the fields are white for the harvest, and that harvest is yet to be claimed in, that God is taking his church, his people, and sending them out there to actually be a fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. Think about that. Now, and some may like that, right? For some, and he goes on to say, for we are the aroma of Christ to God amongst those who are being saved and amongst those who are perishing. To one is the fragrance from death to death. One is that perfume, that fragrance from death to death. To the other is a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? To those that are seeking Christ, those that are coming to him, it's going to be a sweet-smelling perfume of the good news of Jesus Christ. It's going to be an understanding that he's the one who's going to take them, their sins, and free them of their sins, and he's going to be the one that translates them from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. It's going to be a sweet-smelling perfume. I have a thankfulness in that because when I look in this room, I see that not everyone here has come into a relationship with Christ. Some don't have that understanding yet, but I have that thankfulness that even now that we're having the opportunity to testify to him that you could go from life to life. But for those who refuse Christ, it's not a sweet-smelling aroma. It's a stench of death. It's a reminder that because they're not following Christ, that upon the end of this day, when their life is over, that there is nothing for them but damnation and hell and torture. It's a stench of death. We can be thankful for God's work and what he's doing to bring in the next generation and the next harvest. We can also be thankful that he's the one who's making everyone know one way or the other where they stand with him. I think we need to be remembering that next generation with the opportunity to be thankful for that. Luke 24, 46 reminds us of the reason the church is here. Right, Jesus says the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, that the repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. We are to be proclaiming the repentance of sin in Christ's name, beginning in Jerusalem, but going throughout the entire world. Mark 16, again, Jesus says, go into all the world, proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. We can be thankful that we're on mission with God, that he's the one who's doing that work, and we can look at that not as a chore we have to do, but to be thankful that we're invited to be part of it. You know, I think of, and not to get too much in depth of it, but that the third festival of the harvest that the Jews celebrated was the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles at the very end of the harvest, probably closest to what we have now for our calendar for our Thanksgiving. And if you remember, they would actually build these little booths, and they would go out and they would stay for a week there to remember how God had rescued them from Egypt. But you know that tabernacle is just to tent with, to be dwelling with. It's also a reminder that Jesus himself was dwelling with us during that time frame. And at the Feast of Tabernacles, when they were all waiting for the ceremony, when they were going to try and pour some water out from the altar in the front, when they were all waiting for that time, and they all had their very hushed in the whole city, that's when Jesus himself at the Feast of Tabernacles said, all who are thirsty, come to me, and you'll never thirst again. Jesus is still calling those who are thirsty to come to him. We can be thankful he's still doing the work of calling them to himself, and he's doing it through his church. He's doing it through his people. The last thing I want to share, turn to Matthew 13. Turn to Matthew 13. We can be thankful for the first fruits of the harvest. We can be thankful for today's harvest, tomorrow's harvest, the generations he's reaching even now. We can also be thankful for the final harvest. Remember, God still remembers mercy. He's delaying the coming of his son so that more in this world would be gathered in. Matthew chapter 30. There's a parable that Jesus, says of the harvest itself. Let me get there with you. Matthew 13, in 24, he talks about the parable of the weeds. He talks about how man sows good seed into his field, but the enemy comes along and puts in weeds amongst all the wheat. And so then the workers say, what do we do? Do we go through and do we pluck up all these weeds so we can go ahead and save the wheat? Jesus says, no, that's not the way it's going to be. In verse number 30, he says, let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I'll tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. You know, Jesus goes on to explain that over in verse number 36. And the explanation is that, verse 37, the one who sows the good seeds is the Son of Man. The good seeds are the harvest that's been planted by Christ. The field's the world. The good seed is the children of the kingdom. And the weeds are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. And the harvest is the close of the age. And the reapers are angels. And just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the close of the age. The Son of the Man will send his angels. They will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and lawlessness and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But look at verse 43. But then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let them hear. You know, when we think about our thankfulness, even as we gather around for this Thanksgiving, we can be thankful for the final harvest that's going to be coming, that there will be a day when we'll be gathered around as his children, shining in the kingdom of the Father. 1 Peter 1:6 tells us that in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved with various trials. So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perishes, though it's tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, as you think of all the things to be thankful for this Thanksgiving, as you think of all the things to be thankful for in our worship time today, I want to remind you that even in the different scenarios and difficulties that we're going through, in all of those things are going to be tried in gold like fire. That on the final day, you will be shining in heaven as one who's been purified because of Jesus Christ. And that will result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ when he comes. And we have that to look forward to. Let's pray together. Father, I think of the rich gift you've given to us in your Son. I think of the promise that you gave to those that came before him, how that promise was fulfilled when he came willingly to this world. And Father, even how that promise will be fulfilled ultimately when this age ends and we'll be with him in heaven. Father, we thank you that we can look forward to that because the first fruits of the harvest has been harvested, because of Jesus, we know that the remaining harvest will come, and there will be a day when we are the ones who dwell with you in your kingdom. We thank you for that. We pray that you would give us thankful hearts, that even in the midst of what's going on around us, we can testify to all those around us that we love Jesus because he loved us, and that he be glorified for that. We pray this in his name. Amen. Amen.
Please stand.